seated. Go ahead and be seated. Well, good morning, Christ Church. How are we feeling today? I feel the energy up in here, y'all. Man, it feels good. Feels good. I like it. Love it. Love it. Hey, real quick, man, what a beautiful Sunday, y'all. What a beautiful Sunday. This is the, hey, you know, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it, right? Man, we're so excited to have you guys here. Hey, if this is your first time hanging out with us, we wanted to say welcome. We're just a bunch of broken people who love Jesus, all right? We're a bunch of broken people who need Jesus, and we're glad that you're here worshiping with us this morning. Today is our Better Together Sunday. Pretty much all that means is today we're focusing on what the mission is of our church. And we often want everybody to be reminded that we are truly better together. We are truly better together. And yeah, you go, yeah, I like that. Man, it's going to be a great day. We are truly better together. What does that look like? Well, there's so many ways of how God wants to, because here's the thing, God blesses community. God blesses when you and I are gathering with one another more than, amen, the baby's into it. I love it. The baby's into it. There you go. We call that the Holy Spirit. But God blesses when his people come together in one purpose. Whether that's on Sunday morning, on a Wednesday at a couples group, or at the women's group, or my men's group on Mondays, whatever it may be, man, God blesses when his people come together. And so today we want to give extra focus, especially in our in a sermon today, on what it looks like to do life together. Now, what does that mean? That means there are different ways to make that happen for you. Today we want to focus on ministries, being a part of God's great plan, spreading his kingdom throughout our communities and throughout our world as well. So if you take special interest in that and you feel like God is moving you towards that, let us know. We'll get you connected the best way possible. Also, we have been doing our annual Prime the Pump offering. This is the time as a church where, again, we want to be formed by mission. And one of our great missions is not just to serve here in our church, but to serve our communities. We're going to be doing a big project coming up for our Love Week. We're going to be doing a lot of renovation here in our own building, right? We want to be able to, when new people come, they can have the best experience ever. Even for us who have been coming for a while, we can experience such a joy in being with one another, having the space that we have. We got a over 70-year-old building, right? We got an older building, which means we got to keep up with it. We got to take care of it. So we've been talking about here at our campus, we're going to be doing some renovation out at our main street. That's the area by those doors. We're going to be knocking down some walls. We're going to be opening up more space. We're going to be able to see one another as soon as we walk in. So we're excited to partner with that. Man, if you feel like it's God's tugging on your heart to participate in our Prime the Pump offering, man, and I especially to encourage you to consider giving to be a part of this. You can give online, you can give on our Christ Church app, or you can give in our giving box. If you want to serve in another way, rather that's just physically being a part of the demolition team, they're going to give me a hammer, by the way, just to let you guys know. They're going to let me shut up. If you want to be a part of the renovation team, man, come and let us know. We'll definitely take care of you as well. Amen? All right, will you stand on your feet and will you join us in worship?
Shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place, and we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. We shout out your praise. We sing to the God who heals. We sing to the God who saves. We sing to the God who always makes a way. 'Cause he hung up on that cross, then he rose up from that grave. My God's still rolling stones away. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place, and we won't be quiet. We'll shout out your praise. We shout out your praise. We were the beggars, now we're royalty. We were the prisoners, now we're running free. We are forgiven, accepted, redeemed by His grace. Let the house of the Lord sing praise. We were the beggars, now we're royalty. We were the prisoners, now we're running free. We are forgiven, accepted, redeemed by His grace. Let the We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. We won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. We shout out your praise. We shout out your praise.
Amen. Hey, church, before you take a seat, say hi to three or five people. Say hi to three or five people. Three or five people. Say hello if you've never seen them. Say thank you for coming. We love you. I love you. Even if you just met them, just tell them I love you. And Jesus loves you too. Say hi to three more people. Three more people. Well, hello, Erwin. Erwin's looking out for me. Amen. Children's ministry, you are dismissed. Children's ministry, you are dismissed. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. You may be seated. God bless you guys, man. This is awesome. If you have your Bibles with you, go back to the book of Acts. Amen. I see you, Brother Keith. Still got that flower in your ear, but I see you. Anyway, if we go back to Acts chapter, go back to the book of Acts. I love our church. I love our church. I love coming to see you guys. This is amazing, right? But besides my Lord and Savior and my family, I enjoy being around this church family, amen? You guys are awesome. Acts chapter 2 is where we're going to be heading. Acts chapter 2, we're going to be getting in verse 42. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and open up to Acts chapter 2. Acts is literally right after the Gospel of John, right before the book of Romans. Acts chapter 2. If you don't have your Bibles with you, we do have one right underneath the seats. If you need one, wave down the usher team to get you together, or it'll be on the screen for you. Here we go. Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse 42. It says this: "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. And everyone was filled with awe. And many wonders and signs were being performed through the apostles. Now all the believers were together and held all things in common. They sold their possessions and the property and distributed the proceeds to all as any had need. And every day they devoted themselves in meeting together in the temple, and they broke bread from house to house. They ate their food with joyful and sincere hearts, praising God, enjoying the favor of all people. And every day the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Dear Father, thank you for your beautiful word. That, Lord, open up our eyes that we may behold the wondrous things of your word. Allow us to see your truth as it truly is truth. Lord, we are ready to receive today. And Father, today's message is applicable for all of us because there are areas, this is an area in our lives we need to continuously invite you into. Every area of our lives, Lord, we need you in those moments. Lord, we don't need you partially. We don't need you sometimes. We need you all the time. So Lord, in this moment, meet us where we are. I pray that your spirit conforms within us to live out your truth. I pray that marriages today would be restored. I pray that broken relationships would find healing. I pray that you would do a good work. You would carry it to completion, as your word said. You will carry it to completion and through our lives. Do a good work in us. In Jesus' name is who we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Give it up for the worship team. Hey, did you guys notice we had teenagers singing worship today? Like, they were up here like, oh my gosh, she called us out. I don't like this guy, you know, whatever. Man, how awesome it is to have young people here with us. I don't know about you, but when I was a teenager, wasn't in church, all right, right? I wasn't in church like I should have been, but God is blessing this generation, and I'm excited to be a part of this. Amen? Hey, I want to tell you a story. One of my favorite stories is a story about a young man by the name of Tommy Stevens. In the early 2000s, Tommy Stevens was a part of a little league baseball team. He was about 9 or 10 years old, and he was getting ready for one of his games on a Saturday afternoon. But as he was getting ready for the game, earlier that day, he started to experience complications, right? He started to experience complications such as nausea and headaches, and, you know, he was sweating profusely, and he had muscle aches, and his parents started getting a little worried. They were like, what's going on? Let's just take him to the ER. Let's get him checked up before we go to the game. Well, little did they realize, Tommy wasn't going to make it to the game at all. As a matter of fact, for the next 6 months, Tommy spent his time in the hospital. They found out that Tommy had complications with his liver, and they found masses and tumors on his brain. They found many other things that were affecting and negatively impacting his body, but they also found something that was going on with his heart. And for the next 6 months, the doctors and the team and the nurses and many other medical professionals, they sought to see how to make him better. And they started to deal with each and every complication one by one, starting with his liver. Dealing with his liver, and they started seeing that getting better and having a certain increase. And then they started with this brain. The brain was something they were very, very scared and nervous about because of the amount of tumors that they found. But then over time, they started dealing with it, and it started getting better and better. But the one area that they had a hard time was his heart. He would make some progress, and then he would make a little progress. Make some progress, and then make a little bit of progress. I mean, go backwards. Now, what's so interesting is, over time, as they're trying to deal with it, there's more and more teams and doctors that are coming in from outside of the hospital, and they're saying, man, how can we help this poor 9-year-old, now 10-year-old boy who had to spend his 10th birthday in the hospital because of the complications? And then one day, his teammates and a couple kids from his church started visiting Tommy every day. The summer was there, they had more time, and they started visiting Tommy. And they would be in the room with Tommy for three, for sometimes 6 or 7 hours, laughing with them. Laughing with them and playing games with them, board games, card games, you name it. They would watch the games. Baseball season had just started, so they're watching the baseball games with one another, and they're excited, and you know all of this is happening. And then they started realizing, Tommy started getting better. And then they asked, "Why is he making so much progress?" And then one of the nurses stands up and says, "I think I know why. It was when the people started coming." Tommy's heart got better. Because here's the truth, friends, and here's what I want you to understand, that you and I get healthier when we have the right people in our lives, right? Our faith strengthens and grows through community. That's what I want each and every one of you to know, that you and I, we continue towards the path of healing and healthy through a healthy sense of community, right? But let's just be honest, as true as that may be, a lot of us, now go here with me, a lot of us don't have a good sense of what healthy looks like when it comes to relationships. A lot of us don't realize that most of our previous interactions with others has negatively impacted how we treat others today, right? That our previous relationships, that our previous encounters that we've had have somehow shaped how we relate to other people within our lives. For instance, some of us have been a part of toxic environments. Some of us grew up in a toxic environment. Right? Matter of fact, some studies would show that most of the ways of how we are creating a worldview and creating a system of how we relate to one another stems from how we were raised. Some of us, we grew up in a culture where manipulation was allowed. Right? Right? When someone wanted you to do something, they would make you feel bad about it for you to do it. Some of us, we grew up in a culture where in order to feel a sense of love and feel a sense of acceptance, you had to work for it. You had to work for the, "I'm proud of you." You had to work for, "I love you." You had to work for it. You had to achieve a certain status in school. You had to work hard. And if it wasn't enough, you had to go back and work even harder. Right? Maybe you try to find that in sports. Maybe you try to find that in many other things like your career. Right? Maybe you grew up in an environment. Listen to this. Maybe you grew up in an environment where it was hard to express how you feel. And you never really felt heard at all. Now, I'm not trying to say that all of us had bad families or all of us have had bad upbringings when it comes to our parents and whatnot. But little do we realize, some of those relationships have created a certain dynamic within us, and it impacts how we treat other people today. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? Right? And here's what I want you guys to know, that the church, God's church, not just Christ's church, but God's church is God's way of introducing what healthy community should look like. Does that make sense? Right? The church is the place where you don't just attend, but rather it's a place where you belong. Does that make sense? The church is not just a place where you just come, sit here, and be encouraged, and then walk out saying, "That sermon had nothing to do with me. I'm not coming back here." But rather, it's a community of people. It's a family to belong to, because Jesus is here to build a family. He's here to build a family. And what God wants to do is to reintroduce to us what a healthy culture looks like, what a healthy community looks like, what it looks like to be redeemed to the sense of being around people who we can truly find healing and prosperity in our lives. Amen? And that's what we're going to study today. Today we're going to study, what does a healthy community look like? Now, here's what I want you to do. I want you to realize that what we're going to study today is not only meant for Christ Church. Now, sure, as a church, we want to be able to practice some of these beautiful values and some of these beautiful practices within, we're going to see within the early church. But here's the thing, friends. It starts in our homes first. Right? It starts with the people that God has blessed us and given us to in our lives. It starts with our children, moms and dads. It starts with our grandchildren, grandma and grandpas. It starts with our nieces and nephews. It starts with the people that God has given to us. So I don't want you to think like, oh man, it's a great message. Man, hopefully we can do that at church. No, I want you to say, I'm taking this home with me. And I'm going to adopt this in my own family, because the one thing I don't want to do is repeat what my family looked like. Just to repeat the way I was brought up and to bring healing and blessing in that type of way. Amen? Well, if you're joining us, we've been studying through the book of Acts. Acts is just nothing but a book in the Bible. We're going over the history of the early church. As you guys know, or you should know, we gather here today not because we have nothing to do, but rather this is 2,000 years worth of history of the early church after Jesus came, died, rose, and ascended. Jesus came to bring redemption, and he sends out people to spread that redemption message. We talked about that last weekend. We talked about how God is sending you and I to be witnesses. I know you remember every sermon that I preach, so I don't need to go over that anymore. But that you and I, we're called to be on mission with him to bring redemption into the world. So what we're going to do is we're going to read about, very interesting, day one of the church. Did you know that day one of the church was recorded in the scriptures? Day one of the church. So the way this all happens is Acts chapter 2 starts, and they have this day of Pentecost, and it's nothing but a big festival where there's thousands and thousands of people are surrounding them or there in this place in Jerusalem. Excuse me. And then next year, you know, there's a moment that happens where the Holy Spirit comes down and dwells within the specific followers of Jesus, and they begin to prophesy. They begin to talk about Jesus, and there's other people from other nations, and those disciples who didn't speak those languages originally, but because of God's in-working power of his Spirit, they're now prophesying in a way that the people who aren't Hebrew are able to discern what they're saying, right? And this is crazy. It's a miraculous moment, right? A miraculous moment. And then the Apostle Peter, everybody knows Peter, who denies Jesus three times, who drops the ball all the time. He cut off somebody's ear. I don't think I've ever done that before. But he's got a lot of issues. The Apostle Peter gets up and he preaches a zinger of a message. Oh, a jaw-dropping message. And look what happens after he preaches. Let's start at verse 40. Verse 40, bring it up for them on the screen. With many other words, he, Peter, testified and strongly urged him. Another way to say this is encouraged them. He strongly urged them or encouraged them, saying, be saved from this corrupt generation. So they accepted his message and they were baptized. Here at Christ Church, we believe this. As soon as you come to faith in Christ Jesus, the next step is baptism. Baptism doesn't save you. Baptism reminds you and shows others that you have been saved already. Got that? So they received the message and they were baptized. Listen to this. Read this. In one day. Now remember, there's probably like 120 of them at this moment, at one point. Listen, and that day, about 3,000 people were added to them. You know, often I hear people say they don't like big churches. You would have not liked the first century church then. Can you imagine? Like, y'all, we average probably, Haley? What, 150, 160 a week, and somewhere around there. And, you know, it feels like a lot. I mean, we just celebrated Easter a couple weeks ago. We had almost 400 people total online and in person. But we don't have 3,000 people in one space at one time. Can you imagine going from 120 to 3,000 in a moment? Like, you know how overwhelming that is? right? Do you know how many? Listen, I don't know what to do at that point. It would go crazy. But you know what stands out more than anything? That these 3,000 people, again, the festival that they were at, it would have brought many different cultures and nations to this place. What's interesting, now watch this. What's interesting is that now there are 3,000 people who are together, which means there are 3,000 people who are very different than one another, right? There are probably over 3,000 people who now they have different worldviews, different backgrounds, different tastes, different this, different that, different all of that. Because there's one thing that's hard when it comes to relationships is dealing with everybody else's differences. Am I right? I got two of these little jokers. I got two kids. Now, they're only 4 and 1.5, but I can very much see how different they are. Parents, listen, people whose kids are grown, right? It's still hard to parent them, even in their adults, right? Right? It's hard to relate to people and to love people who are just different. But we see in the early church, that God desires for his church to be a church of diversity. Be a church of diversity. And we believe here at Old Brooklyn, I just want to say this, we believe we have a great opportunity to be that type of church. On this side of Cleveland, listen, we have a great opportunity to be a church that doesn't just look like the, where it looks like ourselves, or the people who have the same interest or same political party or any of that. But rather, as it often has been said, you know, they say there's strength in numbers. I would say there's strength in diversity. I think what makes us a beautiful church is that you walk in here and there are different people, different shades, different backgrounds, right? We have a great Hispanic community here. We have a great black culture here. Don't pump your arms over there, right? We have white people and young people and experienced people. I want to be careful what I say. We have experienced people, right? Isn't that beautiful, right? This is what heaven's going to look like. We desire to be a church that looks like heaven, right? And let me tell you something, friends. Different people is a beautiful thing, but it also brings up problems, right? Right, the differences that we all gonna have is, right, we should be doing this or we should be doing that. Listen, at the end of the day, right, we're gonna work through those problems. I'm sure they have problems day one of the church, right? You have different groups coming in that think one way and think another way, but at the end of the day, God is a God who brings, listen, he doesn't just unite us with Christ, he reunites us with one another. And that's the beautiful thing about Christianity. And so we see this church, 3,000 people, and what are they doing? Well, it seems like they all got together, right? Seems like they all came together. In verse 42, it says this, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, and to breaking of bread, and to prayer. I want to talk about three different ways of how a healthy community is formed. I'm going to talk about three different ways. The very first one is, notice that in their time together, they were giving attention to teaching, to biblical teaching. Here's what one thing we believe. When we gather together, the one thing you will always see is a preacher have a Bible in their hand, right? Because here's the thing. We're not up here to give our good advice. We need to be led by truth. And there's only one source of truth. And that comes from the scripture and the God of all truth, right? Right? So when we come together, this isn't a, hey, let me get out some good ideas, some philosophy that I've learned. No, we go to God because we need God, right? We need truth, right? And that's what they're doing. And it says the apostles' teaching. Now, the apostles' teaching wouldn't have just been Peter's own version of the gospel or John's own version of God or whatever it may be. It would have literally been Jesus' teaching. It would have literally been probably the Torah, the Old Testament collection that they had at the time. They didn't have a Bible like we have today, but they would have been communicating what Jesus says. Now, why is it important that you and I, listen, why is it important that you and I give attention to the scriptures? Well, I want you to know, number one, as I said before, I believe we need to give attention to the scriptures because if we're not careful, we're going to be living out the lies of the world rather than the truth that comes from God. Does that make sense? Think about this. What's the lie that culture tries to tell us? Live your truth. Just live your truth. Now, hold on. Wait a minute. They often say this, just follow your heart. Who's the one person that lies to you more than anyone else? Who's the one person that has deceived you more than anyone else? Who's the one person that you were convinced it was a good idea, but then you realized it was a very bad idea? That's you. That's you, right? Right? And if I'm not careful, I can sometimes allow the culture's ideas of life and living to be consumed by that. But you know what the Bible says? The Bible doesn't say follow your heart. The Bible says guard your heart above all else, right? Because your heart is wicked, right? Sure, you want some good things, but you also think and want some bad things too, right? 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 We need God's word because we need more of that truth within each and every one of us, and we do that better together, right? Not only do we do it for that, but we do it because we need encouragement, right? Here's the one thing I do want to do. I want to be faithful to the text when I preach it every week, but I also want to be able to encourage you as you walk out of here today. And here's a beautiful thing about church is we want to be a place where people are instructed, but also people find hope. Right? Because God is the God of all hope, right? God is the God, and we want to walk out of here knowing that God is in my corner, that God is fighting my battles, that Christ is for me, that Christ loves me, that Christ is leading my life. That's the reason why when we come together, or even just not just on Sundays, but any other time, for instance, my men's group, we try to come from the scriptures and we try to encourage one another. We try to encourage, like that little plug I said, men's group, all you men, you need to come here. But anyway, we try to encourage one another. Right? We try to give direction and we try to give hope and we try to give joy, right? There's something about being with other people centered in God's truth where I feel like, and there are some of these guys that are part of the group today that can say they walk out different than how they come in. Right, guys? Right? We're pretty strong, or we're pretty strong after those meetings, right? And that's the beauty of community, focusing on truth. You also notice in point number two, it says in verse 42, and it says that they devote themselves to the teaching, but also in fellowship. Probably have never heard that word before if you've never been to church. What is fellowship? Well, this is the Greek word, koinonia, and what koinonia, all it really means, it means to share. In a more literal sense, where what fellowship comes from is it comes from the fellows on the same ship. Does that make sense? Right? Which means this, they're on the same ship and they're going in the same direction. That makes sense? They're on the same ship, which means they're going in the same direction. Did you notice in the passage where it says everyone was together? Everyone was with one another. Everyone was sharing a meal. Listen, y'all, in days of the early church, they all loved to eat. They loved to eat, and I know it looks like I do too, but anyway, they loved to just sit down and eat. There wasn't a day where, you know, it's like us, you know, we're so westernized in our culture. What you would do is you would do your early work, and then that very night you would probably have 20 people over your house, and you would just eat, and you'd be together, and you'd be sharing God's word with one another, right? The Bible says there was much joy with one another. Right? At my dinner table growing up, there was a lot of fighting. Right? There was a lot of bickering. What did you do today? I did this. You know, if you never do this, you're never going to get whatever. Leave me alone, you know? But in this time, this is a very important time that they stressed being together. Because let me tell you something. What's dangerous about our culture is the danger, everybody eyes on me, of isolation. We live in a world where we promote independence above everything. We promote, you can do it by yourself. You don't need anyone else. It's in our songs. It's in our movies, right? Right? It's everywhere. You don't need anybody. You got this. Pull up your bootstraps. And then you realize that you don't have this. You realize you want to believe that. But at the end of the day, you go home depressed more than ever. As a matter of fact, the CDC says that since 2020, since COVID, which I know a lot of us have stuffed in our mind and like to forget about that time, that one point in history. But since 2020, the CDC says that they've seen a spike in heart disease. And it hasn't been because people are eating junk food. It hasn't been because the overindulgence of alcohol. But they said they've tracked it down to people who they spend most of their time alone. They spend most of their time. Listen, it doesn't just affect you spiritually, but we're seeing now. It's kind of funny how, like, we're all catching up to God. But it affects you physically. Right? And a lot of us, why do we isolate ourselves? Why would we rather be alone? Because we have trust issues. Because we have trust issues, right? Because we have seen a great amount of disappointment from other people, right? We have seen a great amount of people who have let us down. Or maybe you don't have trust issues because of what other people did. Maybe you got trust issues because of what you keep doing. Maybe you continuously separate yourself because you know yourself all too well. Maybe. Just maybe. That's a lot of us today. Right? Maybe a lot of us need to be reconciled to this idea and to this thought and to this truth, friends. That yes, you will have much disappointment in this world. And guess what? You've been disappointed once, you'll be disappointed again. Right? Spouses will listen, your spouse will let you down again. Your kids will let you down again, right? Your own family, your own parents will let you down again. But the gospel teaches us this one important medicine. Are you ready? You want to know the one thing that'll change the world today? Grace. Grace. The way God treats us, even when we were messy, even when we've got it wrong, Christ still treated us better than we deserved. Christ still hung up on that cross and died. The Bible says while we were still weak, Christ died, right? And that's what we need. And fellowship, all it means, it just means to share with one another. It's this idea of sharing. And there's beauty when you and I come with other people and we just get to share. What do we get to share? I just want to give you a couple of things. You get to share in your love and desire and need for Christ, right? There's something about getting with other people and talking about Jesus together, right? And not just talking about Jesus and your desire for Christ. Some of us, we have real serious questions when it comes to Christianity and religion. But a lot of us, we try to answer those questions alone. But maybe we find more direction and more interaction. Hey, you ever thought about this? Why does Christianity do this? What about the other religions? What about this, right? And maybe we need to find that. How about this? Some of us, we need to be able to sit down and fellowship with other people and share in our struggles. Because there's one thing that's killing us more and more is that we are struggling alone. Right? I sat down with a pastor the other day at 787 Cafe, the Puerto Rican cafe right over there. Beautiful cafe, just by the way, beautiful. Right? If you go there, get the Puerto Rican. It's not unhealthy for you, but it's really, really good. Anyway, shameless plug. I sat down with a pastor, and it turned into a 3-hour conversation. I don't have much, you know, time like that to spare within my week, but there was one thing that I was so encouraged. I was so encouraged that I can be vulnerable, that I can share, man, I'm not doing so well as a husband right now. Can you help me? Hey, I'm not killing it in the father department. Can you help me? Hey, I'm finding myself going backwards. And there was something beautiful by sitting down with someone. And you know what they did? They just listened to me. They just listened. Next year, you know, an hour went by. I'm like, bro, you got anything to say? He's like, no, man, I'm just listening. Right? And I realized, as much as I needed that, I need to do that for someone else. Because there's joy in that. There's joy in being able to share with somebody, I'm not okay right now. I need some help. Right? We should also share in our victories. Right? Sometimes we want people to know the good that's going on in our life. Not just that we're overly focusing on the negative, but sometimes we want to share the good that's going on as well. Also, you share in challenging one another, because here's the one thing we all need, is someone to call us out in our lives. You know what you need more? You know what I need more? Is someone to look you in the face and have enough grace to say this, I love you, bro, but you're not doing a good job right now. Right? You know what I need more than anything else? Is for someone to tell me I got broccoli in my teeth. Right? I need somebody to tell me, hey, man, you need to go to the bathroom. We can go ahead and, you know, go to that mirror and, you know, get that toothpick out because you is looking jacked up right now. Right? Because you wouldn't be a good friend if I'm walking around with broccoli in my teeth. You're right? No. You know how mad I'll be at you? If you can't tell me, I simply stop pointing at your spouse. If you can't tell me, I simply, you can't tell me if I got broccoli in my teeth, how are you going to be able to point out the other blind spots in my life? Because I got blind spots, y'all, right? I think I'm walking around good, but I'm not, right? I think I'm fine, right? I'm blind to the things that I need to give a little attention to. And we all need people in our lives like that. We don't need people in our lives that just tell us what we want to hear. You're right. Your husband is really mean. You deserve better than that. You're right. You know, you deserve some time off. Your boss is right. Your boss is wrong, right? You know what we need is somebody to come in and say, hey, this is like the 20th time somebody has said that to you. Maybe it gets to a point where it's not them that are wrong. Maybe it's you. Right? A lot of y'all woke up after this point. A lot of y'all were all knocked out, ready to pass out, looking up the grocery store list that you need to look. But now everybody's like, oh, he's talking to me. No. Right? We need that. Right? There's beauty in community. Now, I want to do this. And I want to skip down to this because for the sake of time. What does healthy culture look like? Where it looks like, friends, where you and I are serving one another through our gifts and generosity. Because you need to understand this. As a follower of Jesus, you are gifted in Christ. God has indwelled within each and every one of you the ability to make him known. The gift that God has given you isn't for the sake so that you can show people how beautiful you are, but rather through the gift, through the indwelling work of the Holy Spirit, you can show people the goodness of Jesus Christ and the love of God our Father for them, right? We do this in generosity. We go above and beyond. We do these things. Now, what does a culture look like? I want to give you a couple ways to practice this week. Let's go to Colossians chapter 3 for this one. And I'm just going to read off a couple things. Colossians chapter 3. This is the Apostle Paul talking about a good community. Let's go ahead and look at the very first one. He says this, therefore, as God's chosen ones, holy and dearly loved, put on compassion. Maybe this week we can practice mercy. Because sometimes not everyone needs to hear your opinion. Let me say that one more time because somebody was coughing and it got in the way of that. So let me say that one more time. This week, not everybody needs to hear how you would have done it. You know, if I was in your situation, I would have done it like this. And I would have gotten it done, and it would have been better and better. Not better, but better. That's, you know, compassion. What is compassion? Compassion is not the idea of just kindness. Compassion is a deep sense of concern for someone. It's a deep sense of saying, I'm really concerned about this person, but I'm not concerned to the point where I want to be overly opinionated. I want to be overly helpful. That's what I want to be. Put on compassion. Put on kindness. Put on humility. Gentleness. Y'all ready for this next one? Do you want me to say it, or do you want me to skip it? Do you want me to skip it? Patience. What if in our homes we practice patience? Y'all, it takes time. It takes time to change. You know that, right? Right? Even though you may be saved by grace through faith, you still have this thing called sanctification, where over time God begins to change you. Yes, you're turned to God now. You're new in spirit and all, but change takes time. Right? Change takes time. It's not an overnight type of thing. Patience. How about this next one? I'll go to verse 13. Bearing one another, and are you ready for this one? Forgiving one another. If anyone has a grievance against you, just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also are to forgive. What if forgiveness was a practice for us this week? What if forgiveness is something we need to put out there? But Pastor, they didn't own up to their stuff. But Pastor, they didn't tell me what they did to me. Okay, that's true. But forgiveness is not to free them. Forgiveness is to free you. There's a difference. Forgiveness isn't to give them an excuse, but to give you an excuse to be free. That's what forgiveness is. Verse 14, and above all, put on love. This word in the Greek is agape, the highest form of love. Put on love, which is a perfect bond of unity. Now, here's the thing, friends. We can't be patient. We can't be kind. We can't be gentle. We can't be patient. We can't be forgiving without Jesus. Because this passage is not meant for you to say, well, I'm just going to do this more. I'm going to go home, and I'm going to tell myself, got to be more patient with your kids. Just got to be more patient, right? And then 2 seconds later, they do something, and then you lose all patience. All right, let's hit the reset button. Let's do it again. You know, I'm gonna go home. I'm gonna show a little bit more compassion, right? No, friends, you can't do any of this without Jesus, who is compassionate, who is kind, who is gentle, who is humble and forgiving and full of love. Don't go home this week saying to yourself, man, that was a good sermon. The pastor preached a pretty good sermon. I'm going to try to do more of this. No, you need to get more of Jesus in your life. And what if we started with that today? Let's pray. Dear Father, I love you, and I thank you, and I honor you. I pray, Lord, that who you are would rub off on who I am called to be. I pray that your spirit would be at work within marriages, within families, within broken relationships, within all that is happening and all that has happened in our lives. Lord, be at work in us. We need you. We need you more than ever. We need you like we need the air. We need you like we need food and water. We need you, Lord, to survive, to be able to thrive, but also to be able to see healthier relationships exist around us. And Lord, I know a lot of us, we want health in our lives, but Lord, we can't attain it or achieve it without looking first to you. So bless us and help us. It's in your Son's perfect name is who we pray. Amen.